Good morning. Welcome to the May 10, 2017 Safety Officer Teleconference. Thank you for joining the call. This call is being recorded to be available for playback later as a podcast. I did catch up on posting some of the podcasts for previous calls. You didn't get the notice. And so if you missed any, just check out the Aeronomics website. My name is Walter Krijalis, President of Aeronomics. I will be your host and discussion moderator. I'm an ISBAO auditor and aviation consultant and attorney, and I'm proud to host these teleconferences as a means for safety officers to get together to compare notes and hear ideas dealing with issues related to aviation safety and safety management systems. I wish to thank our sponsor, Allianz Aviation Insurance, for supporting these calls, which are just one of the many programs they sponsor towards enhancing aviation safety. I'd like to quickly go over some ground rules for everyone on the call. The call is 30 minutes. Again, it is being recorded to be available later as a podcast. So with that said, if you do wish to speak, remember to unmute yourself and just identify yourself by your first name. No need to use full names or company names during the call. I jumped ahead of myself. Please use the mute button feature on your phone. This helps to cut down on annoying background noise. But again, remember to unmute yourself to talk. And I'm calling from a landline this morning, so hopefully the call won't drop. But even if it were, the conference system will continue, and I can just simply call back in. So last call we discussed primarily used the time for discussing someone's safety report that they brought up concerning departing VFR from an uncontrolled field under IFR flight plan and some of the issues that came up during that. Did anybody have any comments about the call 2 weeks ago that they wanted to mention? Okay, not hearing anybody. So it is a regular feature to kind of briefly discuss any aviation accidents pertinent to business aviation since our last call. The two main sources I check are the NTSB database and then Aviation International News. That publication has a pretty good summary of preliminary, factual, and final reports that were issued since, you know, in the last month. And that turned up, there was a Air Ambulance PC-12 that unfortunately had a fatal accident. Outside of Amarillo. And AIN also gave a preliminary report of a Cessna Citation 500 with a Sierra Eagle wing conversion. It, too, was at low altitude and dropped off the radar. So, and then there was also a Air Ambulance King Air that had total electrical failure, then lost an engine during the process of making a precautionary landing. Did anybody want to discuss any of those or had any questions about them? Okay. All right, so it's time to open up the call for any new topics. Does anyone have an issue that they are encountering that they wish to bring up with everyone on the call for discussion?
Walter, this is Peter. I have a question.
Yeah, Peter. Good morning.
Yeah. The compliance check. I'm curious what other guys are doing. Are you doing it every year? I'm sorry, I've got a screaming 3-year-old in the background. Are you get are you following the checklist that's in the GCOM? Are you guys met the compliance check just by doing something else? Or and if you're using the checklist that's in the GCOM, is it have you modified it at all? Have you added anything? What have you added? Just curious what guys are doing.
Okay, Peter, you were a little hard to hear. Can you say it again one more time? I believe you said something about once a year an internal audit checklist?
Yeah, the compliance checklist.
Yes.
So there's a compliance, am I still breaking up? I hope not. There's a compliance checklist that we're supposed to do every year, and I'm curious if people are doing it, if they're using the checklist that's in the GCOM. It's not necessarily an internal audit. It's like verifying that you're following what operationally what you would do, that you're following. Yeah, so you've
got
like, are you filing flight plans and saying if we're going to file an alternate for every flight plan, you sample 5 or 10 flight plans and say, oh, do we have alternates on all these flight plans? Are the tools being checked for calibration as we say we're going to check them? Are write-ups being done in the proper manner? And so you kind of take a sample of 5 or 10 of those. Are the pilot records up to date? Training records, stuff like that. So curious if people are doing that as a checklist or is just – have they met it some other way?
Okay. Thank you for your question, Peter. I'll just turn it around. Is there anybody that would like to respond? Not hearing anybody? Well, I'll just give my 2 cents, Peter. Of course, with the FARs, we're obviously obligated to follow the regulations, so the compliance in that respect. They're under ISBAO, there is that feature. It is one of the elements within the SMS chapter about compliance monitoring. So that's very active. That is something that should be done. I will say as an auditor that I would say it's the more robust programs that I'm used to seeing are with the larger operators, you know, somebody that has, you know, 3 or 4 aircraft and a total staff of 20, 30, 40 people. Everything that you mentioned as an example of what should be checked is spot on. One should be, you know, checking the records, that first of all, that you are keeping a documented record of some of these activities, and on some regular basis, and I think once a year would be the minimal level of checking. But exactly, one doesn't maybe necessarily have to check every flight or every record during the course of the past year, but taking some sort of sampling and see that it appears correct. And it is a good time to check records, make sure training, hopefully you're tracking your training requirements and that, you know, due dates are popping up automatically somehow through some sort of software or your scheduling software that's giving you the heads up. But again, compliance time would be the time to verify that you are up to speed on everyone's training.
Walter, I could add and I could answer. We do use that checklist for our internal audit. as well, and we'll pair up maintenance with pilots to complete that checklist. And what we'll do is we'll take you might have a pilot that's a training officer, and we won't put him on the questions that answer training. We'll put him in like something that's out of their element. But we do like to pair up the mechanics to look at pilot records, and we like pilots to look at maintenance-related questions.
Okay. Was that – okay. That was somebody other than Peter responding?
Yeah, I guess it was. I'm sorry. This is Tom.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. So you use that same checklist that he's referring to?
We do. We do. I'm fairly new as safety officer, so we use it as written, but I have considered maybe changing or adding to that as we move forward. But we've been using that checklist as it's written, and it's worked pretty well for us.
Good. Thank you. Anybody else with a comment? The one thing I would mention is, some of these checklists that are out there, in all sincerity, I haven't encountered the perfect checklist that has everything. And people's operations are different, vary from one to another. So, use them as a starting point, and feel free to add or subtract as appropriate what makes sense for your own operation. That's a good practice. I've heard it before of pairing up a pilot with a mechanic, and maybe the mechanic does the flight side and the pilot does the maintenance side. You have to have some good-natured folks, and maybe have that awkward conversation before launching into that to say, look, the goal is to find something wrong, to make sure we're in compliance, and don't be embarrassed to ask questions. You have to have folks that are rather open-minded to say, especially a mechanic asking a pilot, well, what's this for? What is this for? This doesn't look to be complete. What, show me how it's complete. And the other guy could get uncomfortable by, oh, gee, he's really digging, and because ultimately, you know, that feeling of if something's discovered that was, hey, that's something I'm supposed to be doing and I'm not doing it right, or I neglected doing it, you have that embarrassing, awkward situation, which hopefully in the era of ISBAO and regularly doing audits, it's like, hey, the attitude should be, hey, thank you for pointing that out. I fell down on a job on that, or I flat out wasn't even aware of that. The whole idea of compliance audits are, finding things that might have been lost in the daily routine of things. So it is awkward even for an outside auditor such as myself. I get paid by that operator to go find mistakes. And so, you have to bring it up and just say, hey, guys, you should have been doing this, but I have that conversation beforehand to say, if I just said everything was fine, where's the value in that for what you're paying me? My job is to be that hound dog and find it and point it out to you. That's why you're paying the auditing fees. So anybody have a comment on any of that? All right. Hopefully, Peter, that kind of gave you some idea that, there are, compliance monitoring is out there, and, the GCOM checklist it's a good start. So
okay.
It's better than nothing.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anybody with another topic or an issue they would like to bring up?
Hey, Walter, this is Rich.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, how are you? Hey, just wanted to just reach out and just chat about folks about what they're doing with their frat.
Okay, by a frat, you know, just so everybody knows, it's the flight risk assessment tool, something one fills out prior to a flight. What kind of questions do you have about it, Rich?
Well, we're just developing ours now, and some of the questions that are coming up, and I've chatted with you offline about this, but how often it should be done, what it should be done on every leg. We've had some questions, and a lot of it is resistance from flight crews, and the idea of doing one for every leg seems perhaps overzealous by some, perhaps overboard, a little over the top by some. I just wanted to get some opinions from everyone out there.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Anybody want to comment? Who's
Chris
using a frat, and how do you use it?
Yes. Hello, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
So we've been using a flight risk assessment tool since 2013. We do multiple legs, some trips up to maybe 8 or 9 legs in a day. And we started with the FAA's frat and modified it to fit our department's normal operations. And we went into a philosophy of using it for every leg, making it not so cumbersome that the flight crews feel like it's an unnecessary tool, but more of a checklist of awareness of what we're going to encounter. We put it onto our iPads so that we can do pretty much the entire frat for the whole day and then change each leg as unexpected things may pop up, either NOTAMs, MEL items, weather changes, and we keep track of them. And we really make ourselves aware of what is causing our risk number going up. And when it gets to a point where we all agree that it's above our norm, then we take the time to discuss it, mitigate the risk as needed, and if need be, change plans with our passengers. So a daily one is not bad, or even for every leg, as long as it's not so cumbersome that the flight crew feels it's just weighing them down.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, as a comment to that, Chris, and thank you very much. Part of it is the newest. The product we have is the product that's offered by FLN.com, and we, too, are trying to they have the ability to customize it to your own operation. I think a lot of it might be the newness of it. It doesn't look like it's that time-consuming. But because it actually, when you do your flight plans in FLCplan.com, it imports it into the frat. So your plans are there. You just have to go through into the checklist. So just want to get everyone's feeling on that, because I am getting some pushback from the pilots on it. And I do appreciate your feedback.
You're welcome.
Anybody else want to comment about their frat process?
I can kind of chime in and give ours. This is Ryan. I was a director of safety for a Part 135 company with 20 aircraft, and now the director of safety for a Fortune 100 company. We actually, when I was with the 135 company, when I came into the director of safety role, we also used the flightplan.com SMS management tools, and we did them every leg. We switched to using Baldwin and their SMS management program. And their philosophy, and I kind of agree with it, is they have their risk managed or their risk assessments set up to do per duty day. And the reason is kind of if you have one leg with bad weather, you know, say you're going into Chicago and it's snowing, and the next leg is going down to Florida where it's sunny and always fairly good weather. How much does the mental strain on the stressful first leg going into Chicago, does that have any impact on the second leg going down even though the weather is good? And for most of us, you know, Yeah, it does. And so it looks at a duty day as a whole for their risk assessment. So I think it's kind of important just for you to figure out what your own operation, what works for your own operation. For us, when how Baldwin set theirs up, it was more of a duty day look for our risk assessments.
So that's great, John. This is Jonathan from a Part 91. We have three aircraft. We use Flight Risk. It's linked in with AirInc Direct, and it pre-populates the risks, including the weather, and coordinates with PFM we use for our flight scheduling software for crew duty time and currency. So it pre-populates the risks and highlights it on our it comes with our package to see the risks, and then it's up to us to mitigate the risk as necessary. But it's as far as having multiple legs per day, it shows the risks and hazards, and you can trigger stops when you program it. For instance, if there was a airport that crosswind component or wind components or shears or precipitation or mountainous terrain or what have you, you can pre-populate it to where it'll trigger those warnings, and you can have your mitigation requirements in that, so it pops up with the risk assessment, what you have to do, whether it's contact the chief pilot or director of operations, review takeoff procedures, add an alternate, what have you. It makes it easier if you have multiple legs in a day. For us, it does. But that's, like I said, that's Flight Risk through AirInc Direct.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's Walter. I have a follow-up question. Now, that's the risk assessment side of the package. Do you use the FRAT that as part of it, too?
Yes, Walter. The flight risk is the flight risk assessment tool. That's all part of it. It's all inclusive. The mitigation, we set up the mitigation part of it beforehand for our company.
Okay. Because I found out that they have the risk assessment thing where it does hold. You know, it's pre-populated from the data with the weather. Like if you're close to freezing, it'll give you the warning about cold weather ops. But there's also a FRAT that I understand can only be conducted online or completed online, you know, for each line item, which is like a whole nother step. So I was just wondering if you were using that.
I mean, you can do a pre-assessment tool if you haven't filed it yet using the FRAT. But if you've already planned the flight plan, then we use the flight risk assessment that's populated. So you can do either or. But if you've already planned it, then it pre-populates it.
All right, thanks.
If you've already planned one.
Okay. Anybody else have a comment? This is Walter. I the one thing I would mention, Rich, to your original question is, in what you heard, feel free to modify it. start with one form and change it as you like. I mean, the standard FAA form, I mean, the first section of it talks about, how much have you flown in the last month, and, you know, is one of the pilots less than 100 hours, or, you know, if there's only three of you flying one airplane, you know, you don't have to fill that out every time. Maybe you just eliminate that from your checklist. I've seen folks that change the numbering value, the weighted value for each item. They feel that certain operations are maybe entitled to more of a risk or less of a number than what's populated, you know, from the standard form. I've seen folks, someone said it's more of an awareness tool. So I've seen some folks where they don't even use a number. They just make a check mark, and then they count the number of check marks as far as issues. So the only additional comment I would add to some of that is, though it may be tedious on CABU days and, you know, your garden variety trip, the flip side is you have to, as one gets in the, you're looking at the end game a couple of years from now as you collected all this data, now you've got this data that you can farm and mine from. You know, it's like, gee, when we had that make and model airplane, our average number was a 12, and now we're averaging 15. Why is that? And, you know, it may seem tedious for the everyday flights, but hopefully if you're doing it online or somehow digitizing it so that you can add, subtract, slice it, and dice it, you know, you can see how many, you know, episodes of cold weather ops you had. You know, once you have a couple of years of data, you can kind of, you know, play with it some. So, anybody
else?
That's
great. Yeah, that's great, Walter. The thing, actually, I talked to the provider, and they don't have that ability to pull it off. I was hoping they would have a situation where you could pull it off in some kind of an upload format. They don't at this moment. They're checking on it, you know, and they're working on it now. But I agree, that'd be excellent data.
Yeah, I've had a client who they were doing their frats through a flight plan, FLTplan.com, and flight plan. This is a couple of years ago, so I don't know what it is today. Flightplan.com considers that they own the data, so they wanted to switch from you know, from one vendor to another, and they wanted to download the database, you know, download all that information. They couldn't do it. In retrospect, they could have done it before the fact. It would have been clunky. Would have been able to download it. But after they said they were moving on, the flight plan doc let them take the data. Which is something
that's good enough.
It's something you should talk to about all of your online vendors, much less SMS, but be very specific when you sign up with them as who owns the data, and how, where is it stored? Is it on your server? How secure is it? What are your protocols for against hacking? It's asking the question, if they were to have a customer that is getting sued and somebody's asking to get a, you know, through discovery, is asking, that client has to divulge all their frat reports. Hey, it's been done before. What's their processes for doing that, to keeping your data secure and not just one big data dump to somebody? You know, it's your data. I'm of that opinion. I don't know of anybody that, you know, where it can be stored on your server, you know, using their template. But those are some issues to be concerned about. Anybody, another comment on that? All right, good. The one thing I would mention is, you know, technically in an SMS, you know, it just talks about being proactive, reactive, proactive, and predictive in your risk management. And a FRAT is just merely one way of doing proactive. You know, doing a FRAT form in and of itself is not, you know, technically required, but you have to have some sort of practice or process of being proactive about your risk management, and quite frankly, a FRAT is a good tool to do that. So how you do it is, I've seen all kinds of ways. Anybody with a last comment? I see it's getting to be 12. All right, time to wrap it up. So I want to thank all of you for joining the call, and for those of you that shared your comments, this is exactly the purpose of these calls, is to bring up something that you're scratching your head about, or if you're having a problem with a particular issue. Sign up for our Twitter account at aeronomics.com, and please join the LinkedIn group for safety officers. I want to thank Allianz again for their sponsorship. Our next regularly scheduled call is in 2 weeks on May 24th. Feel free to email any comments or questions to me. I'm happy to bring them up on the next call. So thank you, everyone. In signing off, go out there and identify hazard, mitigate risks. Thank you, and talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Walter.
Thanks, guys.